Let's read together in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 14, is where we left off. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not? Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for this time to come together and in remembrance to take a piece of bread and to drink a cup of juice, to remember that Jesus' body was given, His blood was shed, that we might be redeemed. And we stand before You here today unworthy and recognizing our unworthiness. How should He become sin, who never knew any sin for us, who had only ever sinned? We were totally depraved, but yet we become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. We stand in awe of that this morning. We stand in praise and worship of that this morning. We ask for Your blessing upon this time of the preaching of Your word and the remembrance of the Lord's table. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have many occasions in our lives that are connected with food. Just last night we had a potato supper for New Year's Eve. You all have had Christmas, you've had Thanksgiving, you have birthdays and all of the rest, and all of these things are connected with food. Around the church we have homecoming and potlucks and potlucks and potlucks, and I'm thankful for the potlucks and the added dish and all of these things connected with food. Whenever there's a special meal, I don't know about you, but I cannot wait to be told, come on to the table. Don't you like to hear that? Okay, it's ready, or you get on in here, or you better eat, or it's going to get gone, or whatever. Come to the table. Well, this morning, the Lord's table has been set, and Jesus has invited us to come to His table. And before we do that here in just a moment, I want to share a few things with you that we should bring to the table. A mother had to miss church because she was sick. And when her son returned home from church, as mothers will do and should do, she said, well, what was the sermon about? Amen, moms? And he said, oh, I don't know, about 3 hours. I promise not to go 3 hours, maybe 2.5. But somebody told me this week, said I could preach as long as I wanted to. And I thought, I appreciate that. But then he said, but I'm leaving at 12. I said, okay. Yeah, all right. Let's pray together, then we'll look together at God's Word. We already prayed, didn't we? I stayed up too late last night. Number one, when we come to the table, what should we bring? Clean hands. Was that a thing around your house? Wash up before you come to the table? Spiritually speaking, it's no different. Look at verse 20. But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Before we sit down to a meal, we need clean hands. You don't go out in the yard, work, and get dirty hands, and then come inside and sit down and eat dinner. You wash up first, either for your health or so that you don't stain up mother or wifey's tablecloth and special things that are on the table for you there. Paul says in verse number 21 not to have fellowship with devils or to have clean hands. He says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. This is why the Bible tells us to examine our lives before we come and receive communion. Before the Lord's Supper, we are to examine ourselves. We may see something that needs to be confessed. We may see something that needs to be washed up. When we come to Jesus with remorse and repentance, we find forgiveness, we find restoration, we find an invitation to His table. You know, some people are so burdened by their sinfulness that instead of asking for forgiveness, they figure they're too unworthy to participate in this or any function of the Word of God or the church. They leave church without partaking. But you know, none of us here are worthy. None of us here this morning are now or ever will be worthy to partake in this or any other function of the Word of God on this side of heaven. But Jesus has invited us to come and partake nevertheless. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we've trusted in Christ, we are eligible to partake. In fact, we are invited to partake of this meal. So when we come, we should come with clean hands. When we come, we should come with a good appetite. Before dining on any meal, you should have a good appetite. Can you imagine what would happen if you were invited to someone's house for dinner and an hour before the meal you went and had a bag of chips and a Coke and some Twinkies? Yeah, I'll tell on us. When Shanae and I first moved away from Georgia, we were living in Virginia, and you know, when you're not home, like you're where you grew up, you start missing certain restaurants or certain foods. So every time we'd go back to Georgia, people would say, well, come to our house and have dinner, and come to our house and have dinner. And come. They wanted to see us, and we wanted to see them. But there were these restaurants we wanted to go to, too, and we were missing Longstreet Cafe. If you've ever been to Gainesville, Georgia, you understand Longstreet Cafe. There's no comparison around here. I tried to come up with a comparison. I can't even get you close to it. It's delicious. Homemade biscuits, they're about that big around and they're about this thick. Have you had breakfast yet? And they broast this chicken. Have you ever had broasted chicken? They start them early in the morning when they're cooking breakfast, and then by lunchtime they're ready. Oh, Longstreet Cafe. So we come home and we had three meals planned that day. We were having breakfast with her aunt, we were having lunch with my family, and we were having dinner with some friends from our old church. But we really wanted Longstreet Cafe. So that afternoon, after breakfast and lunch, we were stuffed. We went to Longstreet Cafe anyways, and we went through the drive-thru, and we got some chicken and biscuits, and we sat in our car, and we gorged ourselves on these chicken and biscuits. And then we got to our friend's house, and they said, well, y'all aren't eating much. I think they thought the food wasn't good they had given to us. Well, that wasn't the thing to do, was it? Can you imagine? You need to come to a meal with a good appetite. Paul says here, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils too. You can't have a part in the Lord's table and the table of demons. God offers us a substantial meal. The bread and the cup won't satisfy us physically, but they satisfy our spiritual hunger. When we stuff ourselves, though, with the junk food of sin, with the junk food of the flesh, with the junk food of the world, we lose our appetite for the banquet that God has prepared before us. We need to taste and see the satisfying goodness of the Lord. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. We are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We're exposed to sin, but we read this morning we can resist temptation. Notice verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Come to the table with a good appetite. For many, the way to indulge that appetite is to stop indulging yourself on the things of the world. We come to the table. We should bring time to enjoy the moment. Look at the first part of verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? When we're dining physically, it's important to be able to enjoy the moment. I heard about this restaurant in New Jersey. They named the place Eat It and Beat It. Can you imagine? We say eat and run. I hate to eat and run, you know. I really don't, but I'd have to say that for its good manners. If I eat and run, I can go somewhere else and get some more, right? I have no trouble with a good appetite fart. These fast food joints, have you ever noticed? They're changing this now, but especially when I was growing up, they'd have the hard plastic seats. They looked inviting, but you didn't want to sit there very long. You know why that is? They want you to eat it and beat it. Because the more people they get to fill those seats, the more money they're making there. Sometimes we're in such a hurry that we cannot enjoy our food. We inhale it and we rush on to something else. When we partake in the Lord's Supper, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? I've been guilty of this myself. oh, it's 11:59. We're supposed to get out of here at 12. We still have to take the Lord's Supper. It's the first Sunday. Okay, let's go. Go fast up the middle aisle, get your bread, get your juice, and hurry up and sit down, and we'll all take together, and then we'll be dismissed. But shouldn't we take time to cherish this moment? Shouldn't we give it its due? Certainly we should. In fact, if we're going to rush everything but one thing, this is the one thing that we should not rush. We should come to savor the moment, to linger in the moment, to reflect during this moment, to remember why we are celebrating this moment. When we come to the Lord's table, our spiritual meal should be the focus of why we are here. Verse 17, when we come to the table, we should bring harmony. For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. I heard about a family that got together for a meal. And before long, this might have been y'all's family that I heard about during your Christmas. Before long, the conversation at the table got controversial. They started talking about current events, and then the conversation slipped even farther downhill into... Oh, yeah, that's right. Politics. I forgot what y'all were talking about. Not everybody shared the same viewpoint, believe it or not. And the enjoyment of the meal got ruined as they began to argue. We can't expect everyone in this family, this body of Christ, this local assembly of the body of Christ here at Harpeth Baptist, we can't expect everyone here to agree on every issue. But we can expect everyone here to get along. I mean, I learned that in kindergarten. I'm still working on it, but I was taught that in kindergarten. You got to be nice. Got to share. Got to be friendly and all of these things. Sometimes my appetite is ruined in the physical sense because I spend so much energy during the meals at our house working on my boys' manners. You know, I'll be sitting there and I'll be eating and then I'll hear smacking. Stop smacking. And I'll be sitting there and I'll be eating and then I start getting elbowed. And I say, Sinead, get your elbows off of me. In fact, the elbows are such an issue at my house, and y'all know this, I've told you this before, we've declared Thursday night elbow night. So if you come to my house and eat on a Thursday night, we're going to have bad manners, we're just going to put our elbows up there. I figure if I give them one out of seven, maybe the other six it'll work out. We can't allow our differences, we can't allow the lack of harmony to take away from the meal. In verse 17, Paul makes a point of saying that we are one body, and that we partake of one bread. Conflict, tension, disharmony can all ruin a perfectly good meal. One thing we don't bring to this table is divisiveness. Examine yourselves. Don't bring divisiveness to this table. Allow that which unites us to become greater than that which divides us. Number 5, when we come to the table, we should bring a spirit of thanksgiving. Verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We need to be grateful for this meal. It's symbolic. It's a piece of a cracker. It's a little cup of juice. But this is the symbolism of something that is great. Be thankful that He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Wonderful lines. You ever seen these aprons that say, kiss the cook? Yeah, I need one of those. We need one at my house. Sinead does all the cooking, but I like to kiss her, and the mistletoe just got taken down. But you get the point of the apron, right? Kiss the cook. This person has worked hard over this meal. Be appreciative of what they have given to you. When we come to the Lord's table, we need to eat with gratitude and not take it for granted. We don't need to have the mentality, oh, it's the first of the month, we're going to do this again. We need to have in our minds, man, I wish I was reminded more often that Jesus died for my sins. Here in verse 16, Paul reminds us of this through a set of questions. This cup, isn't this the cup of the blood of Christ? This bread, isn't this the body of Christ? Don't take for granted this ceremony that you participate in today. In essence, kiss the cook. David wrote this. Psalm chapter 2, verse 12. He said, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. We need to appreciate the cost of this meal. Jesus has prepared a meal for us that cost him his life. Otherwise, we miss the entire point of what we're doing here today. Finally, when we come to the table, we should bring loyalty. Verse 21 and 22, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? When we come with loyalty, or to come with loyalty, we must avoid the competition. If your family owned a restaurant, you would go there frequently. You would tell other people about it. And you wouldn't want to eat anywhere else. Paul is talking about how people try to eat at the devil's table, yet also come to God's. Have you ever tried to think about why Sunday has become known as the Lord's Day? And why is it Monday the Lord's Day? Why isn't Friday the Lord's Day? Why aren't all the days the Lord's Day? And it's a special day. We come together with the church and we worship together and all of that. And I'm glad that we do that at least once a week. But is it the world's day on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the Lord's Day on Sunday? Certainly not. You can't categorize your faith. You can't compartmentalize your faith. You can't be living for God today and have on your robes of righteousness, have a mindset of worship and praise, and then tomorrow it's all something else. It doesn't work that way. We serve a jealous God. He will not be replaced by substitutes. He demands our undivided loyalty. Eating at the Lord's table means communing with Christ. It means identifying with his death. Our partaking of communion indicates that we are undivided in our commitment to Christ, that he is the top priority of our lives, that he has the preeminence, that he is Lord. So we come to the Lord's table. As you come today, I encourage you to come with clean hands, come with a good appetite, come with time to enjoy the moment, come in harmony, come with thanksgiving, and come with a loyal heart.